And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is trends. Each of my guests is revealing trends that are emerging in the United States. My next guest is the youngest serving U.S. senator today. He's the Republican senator from the state of Utah. We'll examine the need for a balanced budget amendment from his book, The Freedom Agenda. And as always, if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. And keep that number handy because we have two sandwiches or two salads to give away from Urbane Cafe during this particular segment. I'll be giving those away to the third caller who calls in at 639-0008. Mike Lee was elected to the U.S. Senate from Utah in 2010 and is currently the Senate's youngest member. Senator Lee is a lawyer, a lifelong student of the Constitution, and a former law clerk to U.S. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. Senator Lee currently serves on the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Foreign Relations Committee, the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, and the Joint Economic Committee. Senator Lee and his wife have three children, and they live in Alpine, Utah. Joining us from the great state of Utah, Senator Mike Lee. Senator, how are you today?
I'm doing just great, especially now that I'm back in Utah. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for taking time away from your recess from the Senate to join us. I'm grateful to you for that, and also for the book that you've written, The Freedom Agenda, Why a Balanced Budget Amendment is Necessary to Restore Constitutional Government. So first of all, I've got to ask you, and this is topical, what just went down in Washington, D.C. during this debt ceiling limit increase? You know, on August the 1st, you were quoted as saying that you were unsure about voting for the newly agreed upon $2.4 trillion debt limit increase due to the amount of permanent structural spending reforms. Now, most Americans were looking at that, and we were all kind of scratching our heads at all of the partisan politics that was going on there. From your position as an insider, tell us what went on. What did we as the American people get out of this?
Well, first of all, I never said I was unsure about voting for it. I said I would not vote for it.
Okay.
Because as I've explained since before I was even sworn into office, and for reasons I explain in my book, The Freedom Agenda, I will not vote to raise the debt limit, especially by a record-breaking, unprecedented amount of about $2.5 trillion in one fell swoop until we fix the underlying problem in a manner that will be permanent and binding. The only way to do that, as I explain in my book, is by amending the Constitution to restrict Congress's borrowing power permanently. This proposal fails to do that, and so I voted against it. There are some other reasons to vote against it as well, but that was the number one reason.
All right, and that's a very sound reason. I mean, I have some objections to it because what it does is it really postpones this discussion again until December of this year. In the meantime, we're going to put together a committee to look at ways we're going to cut some of the big programs that we've got out there, and just what Washington needs is another committee. And besides, didn't we have the Blue Ribbon Committee that was looking into this? Now what do we need, kind of a gold medal committee? So we'll move away from that. We'll move away from that. That was just my political commentary there. And talk about your book. Now, I like the ring of the title of the book, The Freedom Agenda. It really does say that we can be free of the tyranny of debt and free from the foreign powers that really own the debt that we have. So I like that. And you want the balanced budget amendment. That's what this is all about. And there's some very compelling reasons to do that. And if you don't mind, I'll just elaborate on what some of those things are. Accountability, which you talked about, accountability for every new expenditure that happens at the governmental level. It eliminates pork barrel projects being tagged onto bills for different senators and congresspeople's districts. It diminishes the power of special interest groups, and it focuses voter attention on how the elected officials govern, not so much how much money they bring back to the district that they represent, which is good. And it forces changes to the entitlement programs, the big ones being Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Those are all very powerful, very palatable. Let me ask you, though, on the other side of that coin, a balanced budget amendment overlooks some challenges that we have in times of great crisis, times of war, terrorism, or economic crisis, all three of which we've had in this last decade. Plus, there are cash flow issues that happen because when people are unemployed, as we are today, then there's less money coming into the government, which means that more programs like unemployment benefits have to be cut. So talk to me about the balanced budget amendment. And the biggest fear that I have, Mike, about the whole thing is this, the unintended consequence. If we have a balanced budget amendment, which on the surface sounds good, and it's amendment to the Constitution, now there will be all sorts of legal contests against that amendment. And the courts, unelected officials, are going to be the ones who are making changes to the amendment, making clarifications to the amendment, and we're taking the power away from elected officials such as yourself and putting it into the hands of the court. How do you react to that?
Okay. As to the last part of your question, that dealing with the possibility of courts getting involved in the process, that is dealt with relatively easily because every balanced budget amendment proposal that's made any headway has contained a provision saying that Congress will have the power to implement the amendment through appropriate legislation. Appropriate legislation enacted pursuant to such a provision and pursuant to Article 3 of the Constitution would give Congress the power to limit the terms of the involvement of the judicial branch of government in the process.
Good.
I strongly suspect that there would be legislation. In fact, I would sponsor legislation once we had an amendment in place that would limit the role of the courts such that the courts wouldn't be able to step in and, for example, insert their way into the process and say, we're going to raise taxes through the courts so that we can balance the budget. Their review would have to be limited to declaratory and injunctive relief, invalidating and perhaps ordering the sequestration of funds, a budget package that exceeded the lawful limits. I also want to make clear, as to the first part of your question,
sure.
Responding to the point that there are times when exigent circumstances may require Congress to overspend, I don't dispute that. And that's why the balanced budget amendment that I've proposed, and most balanced budget amendments that have been discussed in recent years, contain some kind of provision allowing Congress to override the requirement, the budget balancing requirement, by a supermajority. Either a two-thirds majority or some other supermajority ratio, so that it's difficult and likely rare that Congress would be engaging in that action, but still possible in unusual circumstances.
All right. Good answers. And my guest is Senator Mike Lee, author of the book, The Freedom Agenda. He is on recess from the Senate right now and joining us on the show. Mike, before we go on with our next question, I do have a big shout out to Pamela, who is the winner of the two sandwiches or two salads from Urbane Cafe. Pamela will get those certificates to you in the mail. Thank you for being a loyal listener to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Now, something that I found both interesting and timely, Mike, was this. On Monday on CNBC, they did a viewer poll, and the poll question was, does the United States need a balanced budget amendment, yes or no? They had 3,383 respondents to that, and most of those respondents, of course, were business people because that's who typically watches CNBC. But I found that the responses were very interesting. 72% of the respondents said yes. Only 28% of the respondents said no. And I find that that's interesting because of the percentages. We would need two-thirds of the population to want this in order for us to pass a new amendment. And at least amongst the 3,383 CNBC people polled, it seems to be the will of the people. So why is it that a balanced budget amendment is not getting more traction if at least business people are behind this?
For reasons I explained in the Freedom Agenda, there is immense pressure put on members of Congress to spend more money. And there is immense reluctance on the part of some members of Congress to give up the power to engage in perpetual large-scale deficit spending. Because members of Congress, quite frankly, become less powerful when they have access to less money, as they would under a balanced budget amendment. But I'm glad you brought up this statistic, because this CNBC poll that you reference is supported by a CNN poll that was conducted not just of its own viewers, but of the American people at large. And it came up with almost the exact same ratio. In fact, if anything, the CNN poll is stronger. It shows that about 75% of all Americans strongly support a balanced budget amendment and say Congress should pass it. So that gets us back to the question, why then doesn't Congress pass it? Well, the Freedom Agenda explains that. But again, it has a lot to do with the built-in intransigence and the built-in temptation that members of Congress feel to overspend. because that makes them more powerful. They don't want to give up that power. But if we force them to give up that power, we acquire more freedom. We regain more control over our lives, over our money, over our own destiny.
My guest is Senator Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, author of the book, The Freedom Agenda, Why a Balanced Budget Amendment is Necessary to Restore Constitutional Government. And Mike, I'm going to ask you, if you look around the United States, 49 of the 50 states have balanced budget amendments, yet spending is out of control. We've got states, such as our own state here in California, that are on the brink of insolvency. So if you look at the states as a model, and you know that most of the states do have a balanced budget amendment, yet we're all suffering, whether it's California, Illinois, New York, we all have issues, financial issues as states. If you project that onto the United States, aren't we going to have some of the similar difficulties on a national level that states are experiencing on the state level?
You know, I get that question from time to time, and I'll point out two things in response to this. First, California is an outlier in this regard among the states. It's an outlier in many regards, including this one. Most of the states, in fact, the overwhelming majority of the states, do balance their budgets every single year. It's not news when they balance their budgets because they're required to and they comply with their own laws. I look forward to the day when it's no longer news when Congress happens to balance its budget. It seems to be something of a short-lived accident when that happens in Washington. Second, as to the California example, I haven't looked at California's Constitution. I have never had occasion to do so. I strongly suspect that it is not the kind of amendment that we would put in place in the U.S. Constitution, the kind of amendment that I've proposed. As I explain in the Freedom Agenda, there are a number of essential elements that a balanced budget amendment needs to contain, and this is very important for Americans to understand, because if three-fourths of the American people want a balanced budget amendment, they want one that's going to work. They don't want one that's going to become window dressing, as California's provision apparently has been. They want something that's going to work. My book explains what the essential elements are, what the hallmarks of a well-written, enforceable, permanent, binding balanced budget amendment will look like. In a nutshell, it has to have a requirement that Congress not spend more than it takes in. It also needs to have a requirement that Congress not spend more than an identified percentage of the American economy, a fixed percentage of our gross domestic product each year. And then it needs to contain a provision saying that if you want to exceed that limit, you need to have a supermajority vote. Without, at a minimum, those three elements, and possibly some of the other elements that I describe in the book, you're going to have a balanced budget amendment that's more vulnerable to attack. And so that's something that will be important for Americans to watch over the next few months, as Congress has now promised to have a vote on the balanced budget amendment between now and the end of the year. Americans need to be on the watch for what kind of amendment gets put forward on the floor.
And it couldn't be more timely that your book, The Freedom Agenda, is out. We're talking to Senator Mike Lee, Senator from Utah. Mike, what are going to be your top priorities when you return to Washington pertaining to spending cuts and pursuing the balanced budget amendment between, say, now and the end of the year in December?
Well, one of the things that we need to do is continue to work with other members of Congress, both houses and both political parties, around building consensus around certain provisions of the balanced budget amendment. There are a number of different proposals that have been put forward. I'm the co-author of Senate Joint Resolution 10, the Hatch-Lee balanced budget amendment proposal, which all 47 Republicans in the Senate have co-sponsored. So in the next few months, I will be working on building some consensus that's bipartisan and bicameral so that we can all start to get behind a single proposal.
Now, that is great. Mike, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Freedom Agenda?
I want readers to understand through my book that balancing the budget isn't just a good idea. It's something that's absolutely essential to preserving our way of life, our prosperity, and our freedom as Americans. This book attempts to explain in as concise a way as possible how we got into this awful mess. By this awful mess, I mean into a situation in which we're required to work sometimes 3 or 4 or 5 months out of the year just to pay our federal tax bills, only to be told later that still hasn't been enough and hasn't been enough for a long time because we're almost $15 trillion in debt. And then on top of that, all this money that we're paying in our taxes is going to fund government programs that regulate every aspect of our lives and diminish our freedom to that degree. I want Americans to understand how we got into that mess and, more importantly, how we get out of it. And to understand that balancing the budget is the only way we're going to be able to restore important limitations on the role of the federal government, limitations that were put in place by our founding fathers, but that have been eroded over the last few decades. We can restore that, but we can't restore it without restricting Congress's borrowing power.
It's an important read, particularly for people who are involved in voting in this country. The book is The Freedom Agenda, Why a Balanced Budget Amendment is Necessary to Restore Constitutional Government. The author is Senator Mike Lee. Senator, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.